Morning, folks. Welcome to the Bruce Dickey Show here on AM 1390 and WFIW FM Fairfield, Illinois. Appreciate you tuning in. I've got guests across the way, entertaining guests across the way, as they are entertainers themselves or relatively new to the field of entertainment. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Teresa Simmons. Good morning, Teresa. Thanks for coming on the show today.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
You scoot up just a smidge. And to your right and to my left is Troy Simmons. I went to school with Troy Simmons. How you doing, Troy?
Hey, pretty good, Bruce. Thanks for letting us come on here.
Long time no see. Good to see you.
Good to see you.
When's the last time you and I talked?
Probably
1984.
Yeah, maybe the food park days, I'm guessing. Yeah. I graduated high school 87, so I kind of split after that.
You left. You worked at food park through 87.
Yep. Okay. Through my high school years.
So that was before they even built a new one, right?
Correct.
So you were over there on Delaware.
That's the one.
All right.
Had the best bosses in the world over there, and they taught us responsibility.
And Harold and Doyle.
I still live by that.
So. Well, that's great.
Yeah. They taught us how to be personal and how to treat the customers. And I go up into the big city, and you don't get the hellos, the personal thing like you do in Fairfield. So I noticed
Pull that microphone just a little closer to you.
Okay. I'm sorry.
There you go. Well, you know, you're the sound engineer.
I know. I should kind of know that. I'm just like lavaliers and how close I can get.
Well, you can put the headset on if you really want to take a reading.
Awesome.
And then
thank
you'll
you.
Know what's if you really want
to check one. Yeah, I got to adjust this a little bit, but
You're the pro.
Okay, there we
do
go.
Do whatever you want with that. But you see, the problem is it might fall off.
There we go.
The cool part is, Troy, if it does fall off, you can fix it.
There we go. How's that sound? Is that a little bit better?
That's great. That
proximity sounds, okay on that?
That sounds wonderful. Proximity's perfect on that.
Awesome.
How's mine sound to you?
Awesome.
We see, now you've got a lot, trust me, a ton more training with this equipment than I do.
Okay.
That's for sure. So if something bad happens, you're fixing it.
That sounds like a plan to me.
Tell folks tell them real quick what you're doing in town. I tell you what, before you tell folks what you're doing in town, tell folks about who you are and being from Fairfield.
Okay, well, I grew
your
up
family
in,
and that kind of stuff.
Okay, my name's Troy Simmons, and I had the best mother in the whole world, Frances Simmons Bell, and my father was Jack Simmons, and my father was into writing music on the guitar, and he would try to push that toward me, and I wouldn't. It's like, you know, I'm a baseball guy.
Did you ever learn how to play guitar?
I ended up playing guitar. I kind of liked my junior year in high school, kind of picked it up, and I joined a band with like Bob Short, Trey Leonard, Jason Abel, and Travis Williams. We had a really cool band, and I ended up going back to Chicago because I just wanted to go in for some education. So.
Sure.
And I missed that Fairfield is the greatest place in the whole world to grow up. It's that small-town mentality that nobody will ever understand. I'm in Chicago, and you're lucky if you get somebody to look you in the eye and say hello.
So, all right. So, let's go back. At 87, you graduated, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where'd you go then?
I went to DeVry for like a year.
Okay.
I realized I didn't like that. That wasn't me. It's like
not your bag, baby.
That was not my thing.
Okay.
So I told my parents, "It's like, hey, I'm going to come back home." It's like my father's like, "Come on, don't end up in an oil field. Just stick this out." And it's like, "Well, let me try something else." So I came back. Started working at Fairfield, and I went to Columbia College, and I graduated in 95.
Columbia College is in?
Chicago.
Okay.
And I got an audio engineering degree, and I kind of started a music thing in my house. And another buddy of mine, Jason Molinex, he had my side throughout everything musically, and we were allowed to put a couple CDs out that I'm so proud of. And I just took it from there. So with this film thing, I've kind
of learned. Where did you, when you were doing your sound, you were a sound engineer, right?
No, I was a guitar player.
Oh, okay.
So we would go to local studios, like in Mount Vernon, at Dirac, then we went down to like Orient. And then toward it later on in 2007, Jason would come up to Chicago. We found an awesome engineer up there that we'd do our music with.
Okay. And at some point, you basically decided, oh, you know, this is fun, but I've done enough.
The music thing's hard. And I love entertainment, and my last job supported me to have this, but then I had to kind of reach a career decision. What do I want to do? And I ended up going to a film school, Tribeca Flashpoint Academy. Robert De Niro starts the school. He's part owner of this.
Is that in New York?
It's in Chicago.
Oh, okay.
But they're directly related to the Tribeca Film Festival in New York.
Okay.
So from day one, they threw us right out there, like, here's your microphones, go learn, go do this. And basically, they taught us how to fail. And they want you to learn how to fail and how to correct that. So,
how to fail.
Yeah, like what I mean, like
how to fill the screen,
how to fail, how to not have a good product. Like they give you a microphone to go out day one. Hey, record a sound. We don't even know what we're doing.
Oh, I see.
So then we come back in, and they want us to see that, and they say, "See, Troy, this is why this happened. The wind was back here. You didn't have a lavalier here." Oh, I see. They purposely put that into you.
Okay.
Because doing films, it's such a stress thing that you have to stay in your lane.
Yeah.
You might have 15 people on crew, 5 as actors. people have to stay in their lane. If any person gets out of that, it just creates a headache.
Okay.
So they taught you that from day one.
Okay, so you've gone to, you're going to film school. You're learning how to fill the screen, basically.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And how long ago was that?
Well, I graduated in May 9th of 2000, this past year.
Okay.
So it was a two-year program, associate's degree, and it was just filmmaking, but it's totally filmmaking. I mean, you're in this. I did commercials on Chicago, which was really awesome. You know, it's like you're in the field doing it, and that's how you learn.
Teresa, let's before we get to the why you guys are here, tell us about your background.
Well, I'm originally from Fairfield.
Teresa Simmons. What yes. Year did you graduate?
95.
Okay.
In Orlando.
A little younger than Troy.
A little bit.
A cousin?
He's my uncle.
Oh, okay.
Yes. So I grew up in Orlando. One by one, my family started coming back up here, mm-hmm. which led me to come up here.
Okay.
Last summer, Troy came down from Chicago. We're sitting in the kitchen, and he's discussing all these events that had taken place back in 92.
He's telling you stories.
Yes, which he's mentioned a lot.
Yeah.
Because they're very interesting. And so I just said, well, let's start writing them down because he, you know, said, I want to make a film. If I'm doing all these films, why couldn't I do one?
Well, that's the thing, Troy. You had just completed basically grad school, I guess,
yes,
right?
Yep.
We could call that. And Teresa basically brought this to your mind that you might be able to make a – is it a the movie you're making, is it one thing or is it a compilation movie or what is the movie?
Our goal is a three-part miniseries, all okay. based in Fairfield. We're using Fairfield as our background, and I've got people on board to do this.
Really?
So we're testing the market with the first one because the hard part about this is getting 25 people to travel this far
yeah.
to make this, and I have to see the commitment early on.
And the 25 people is the film crew, right?
20 crew, 5 actors.
What is the so you're making a movie and you're going to what's the schedule like? What are you thinking? What is your hope? When do you plan on hoping to start?
We're aiming for November 13th, which is a week from Friday. We have some last minute legalities with like insurance waivers, our written agreements are already been signed for the location. It's already locked in, and the only thing we're kind of waiting back is for Friday to see if our insurance waivers are kind of going to come through. There's some things to make sure we're not going to get in trouble and our equipment's covered because this is thousands of dollars of a production that
yeah.
I don't want to be holding a bag.
Well, how are you filming it? Are you filming it on what kind of cameras are you using?
We're looking at a camera called the Red, and uh-huh. it shoots at 4K resolution, which
okay.
is two times better than 1080p.
See, 4K is now what the really fancy TVs
yes.
are running on,
yes.
right?
Yes, yes. So I told Austin Neff, he's a director of photography, it's like, look, let's do this the right way. You know, let me know what the budget's going to be. We'll figure this out. We have a strong team. And once I got that strong team together, it's like, okay, I'm ready to take this gamble. Let's see. So
what kind of difference are you talking about on a 4K camera versus a like a film?
Okay, well,
or a standard video.
Gotcha. It's all high definition.
Yeah.
So it's what they explained to me, it's pixels. And all your top films are being used with this camera. There's like a Red Dragon, a Red Epic, and I don't understand stuff I'm kind of learning now.
Yeah.
So with that being said, and the guy, the Austin Neff, the director of photography, and our operator, Dane, they work on real films. So I'm talking to them, say, this is the look that I want. Can you give me this look?
Yeah.
So as me being an audio guy, I'd be on the set knowing, okay, the responsibilities of the director of photography, I would kind of look to see what their position is. So then I kind of, when I was trying to put this together, well, hey, let me ask him. I'm looking for this look. So as far as answering that question, I'm still technically doesn't understand
sure.
the camera side of it.
What's the name of the movie?
Odin Lane.
Odin Lane.
Yes.
Where it's O-D-E-N Lane,
yes.
I presume, right?
Yep.
I'm looking at his T-shirt, but I was making. I thought, you know, whenever I looked at it real quickly, I didn't have my glasses on. I thought it was maybe Odom Lane. I thought you were doing it about Larry Odom since you would have
yes.
been here when he was coaching.
You know, a funny story. I was at a grocery store. We were putting some flyers up, and I turned a corner, and I heard somebody go, no, it's not Open Lane. It's Odin Lane. And I'm like, wow. And it's like, so, yeah, I can understand where you got that from. So
yeah.
that's what people said, like, last night at Walmart. I, like, walked through. It's like, hey, Open Lane. So it's just like the association that you see because it's a new word.
Where'd you come up with the title?
I was looking at some marketing behind this. Like
Greg Oden?
No, that's why I didn't want to use that. It's like that was
What I'm thinking here. Odin Lane, if you're like me and you know college basketball from the 2005s, you don't go down Odin Lane.
Exactly. That's what I was telling Robert. It's like, look, Robert, this guy played in the league. He was a number one pick over Kevin Durant. He never made it. We got to be careful here.
Yeah.
So it was the word Odin, and then we took the word Lane, and it just had the look to that. And, okay. We went through this, like, through dictionaries, like, up all night, because I really had to make a decision, because we had an older title that we couldn't really kind of run with.
Yeah.
And we were getting ready to start our advertisements. Like, we were going to call it Fairfield Stories Part 1.
Right.
It's like, well, this seems kind of unstable. Let's try to get this down. So we really kind of locked down for the title and took it from there.
That's cool. I'm talking with Troy Simmons and Teresa Simmons. We're talking about Odin Lane. And if you're looking for more information on it, you can take a look at Facebook. Just pull up Odin Lane on Facebook. And they're also on Twitter, I'm presuming, at Odin Lane.
Yes.
Or at Odin Space
underscore,
Lane.
Underscore
Lane. You can go to odinlane.com, and that's where you'll find their Indiegogo campaign. And you can also get a hold of them via email, fairfieldilfilm@gmail.com. I'm going to talk more with Troy and Teresa. We're going to get into the plot. And we're going to find out how he started writing this and how it all comes through. How he and she, pardon me.
Correct.
I don't mean to cut you out, Teresa. How they started writing this. I will cut you out a little bit. He does like to talk more than you, Teresa.
I think he's better at it.
That's my problem, man.
We'll be back on the Bruce Dickey Show here on AM 1390 and WFIW-FM after these words. Folks, welcome back to WFIW AM and FM Fairfield, Illinois. Bruce Dickey here along with guests Troy Simmons and Teresa Simmons. Appreciate you listening in as we're talking about the movie that these folks are going to make in Fairfield. And looking for it. I got to tell you, reading through the proposal was pretty interesting. Tell me about Odin Lane. Tell me about the concept, the plot of the movie, and what you're going for here.
Okay, it's a psychological thriller, so if you like Alfred Hitchcock style, I believe you will like this.
I do like Alfred Hitchcock.
Cool. So my whole goal was to make sure it's a horror film, but let's do it tastefully.
Yeah.
No blood, no guts, no swear words.
Just kind of more, like you say, psychological, huh?
Yes.
What's it, how's it, what is the plot?
The plot is it's based off a few friends, lifelong friends. One guy's from Chicago. He comes down to Fairfield to hang out with a group of friends. Now,
you can speed up a little bit, Troy.
Okay.
I slowed you down.
You slowed me down a little too much.
You're doing fine.
All right.
Don't lose your enthusiasm.
Okay. Well, yeah, basically it's like I arrived at this trailer and I'm with a few friends and we start seeing some bizarre events. And it was really a guy just saying a bunch of one-liners that was just off the wall. So there's a chain of maybe like 70 events in one night. You know, it's like, whoa. The older I got, me and my buddies are out there playing line ball. We always would play baseball.
Sure.
And so a couple buddies was like, you know, that was kind of wild what happened back then.
So they, comes from real life.
Comes from real life.
No kidding. So, all right, now you're begging the question. So you've lived through a horror story, is basically if it does come from real life.
Yes.
No kidding.
Yes. But at the same time, I don't mean to cut
it's
you off.
It's fiction.
Yes. to tell a story, the way I was talking to one of my buddies about this at school, it's like, how do you tell a story through your eyes that's an event to keep the audience enjoyed? You know, how to keep them guessing what's going on? He's like, well, basically, a memory or an event is just that, unless you have a film to show that. So it's like, well, what do I do? He goes, you tie these in. You create a story based off that event to keep the audience going. So mm-hmm. that's what we did. So, we had to add some things that weren't real.
Sure.
But it possibly could be real. So easy. So that was my main goal. It's like, let's make sure this could really happen in real life. Mm-hmm. No lightning or crazy stuff causing any weird stuff. Let's make this a psychological thriller.
You're not doing any Deus Ex Machina stuff,
that's it.
Are you?
Nothing like that.
Is that right?
And I would lose crew members starting out with the direction that I want to go. It's like, look, there's not going to be any blood. I live in this town. I grew up in Fairfield. You might be looking for a film for your resume. We have to do this tastefully. I'm the one holding the bag at the end of the day. I want to be able to arrive in that town with my head high.
Yeah.
So that's to make sure everybody knows. It's like in the bottom of my eye, I'm making sure that Fairfield is told in a great light. It's just a story that takes place in a great town.
A horror story in a great town.
Correct.
I love it. All right, you sound like you're trying to hide plot factors.
It's a film.
Yeah.
Bottom line, it's a film. So when you watch this,
tell me what happens to some guy. So you start out with some guy, right, or some gal.
Okay.
Tell me what happens in the movie.
There was a line that was thrown out. I want that yellow shirt, and from then on, it was a chain of events that just went on.
I want that yellow shirt starts the movie.
Starts the movie.
Starts the action.
Yes. There's a line before that that I want you to hear first, before that line.
Yeah.
That's the one that triggers. When you hear that I want the yellow shirt in real life, that's when the hairs on the arm started to stand up.
Okay.
From that on, it was just he had an obsession, with these California raisins. Yes.
Okay.
So he kind of let us know, hey, these are my raisins. Please don't touch these raisins.
Let's back up a little bit. Is Odin Lane a place or a person?
It's a person.
Or do I want to know?
You may not want to know. It's a person that's in a town, and Lane is just a word that's either is it a street or is it his last name?
Okay.
Because we're doing future films in the future, so I can't.
I see. Yeah.
We're tying.
You don't want to get that deep into it.
Yes. That's,
I can understand
that. I can let you.
You're working on Star Wars Episode 4, 5, and 6 right now.
I wouldn't say that, but that's what I think. If you're going to think, you got to think big.
Sure.
You don't think small. And
absolutely.
And you never want to shortchange. And I've learned that, I think, in the music side of it.
Hey, Teresa, tell me about. Okay, so you're sitting in the kitchen, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you tell him he needs to write to you. Need to write this. So he tells you, okay, we'll write it. How did you get involved? To because these aren't your stories. You were like 8 years old when this kind of stuff happened.
Well, we're just kind of sitting there, and I said, because some of these things that he had experienced happened over different times that he'd went there. So he talked about doing it in a short film, like 20 minutes. So I said, we need to add all these into one evening and just kind of keep it rolling back to back.
Yeah.
And, you know, we just started hashing out ideas and going over different scenarios that may have happened and one thing that connected to another. We decided to change the California raisins to bears because obviously we couldn't use the...
Can't use the California raisins.
Because of trademark. So we changed those to bears and...
There are bears in Southern Illinois.
Yep.
Somewhere.
Yeah.
They've been spotted.
You don't want to see these bears.
I bet not.
Good news if you do. So.
Okay, so I guess my question is, are you adding dialogue? What is your portion of the writing? Are you adding dialogue? Do you type better than he does? I mean, if you guys are co-writers, right?
Right. Well, basically, I guess I just started bouncing off of the things that had happened to him. Different ideas just started coming to
you helped form the story.
Mm-hmm, correct. And so we just kind of bounced off each other with ideas and different fictional things that could have went down and where to place them and just put a story together.
How many, you said you've already worked out contracts with locations and that kind of thing. You're still trying to iron out insurance and that kind of thing. How many different locations are you going to have around town, or is it just one, or what?
The main location, is a trailer park in this town that we were using, and then we're also going to film like the courthouse, Lakeside Park, Leo French Park, and a couple businesses we're looking at. So we've got permission to do that, and they're going to be what's called B-roll shots with the camera inside the car.
Okay.
So what I'm begging for now is to prove that this character is coming from Chicago, so we're kind of working to get like a shot of Chicago to start this film out.
Okay.
And we might have to do a B-roll shot of that. So it's all the legalities that's involved in that. And
what kind of legalities do you have to get into to get a shot of Chicago? I think you'd be able to just drive along and be able to shoot as you're going. But are there billboards or something that you have to take out? Is that what it is?
Exactly. There's a lot of issues as of like establishing a shot. If you use Chicago as a backdrop and you've got cameras mounted on your car and the whole operation, you're using Chicago as a backdrop. That's your establishing shot.
Yeah.
You can tell a story inside a car using Chicago as a backdrop, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
So because there's so many licensing, like I can't come and use WFIW without I getting a written agreement from you.
Sure.
We have to be careful with street signs. And even though it's a short film and the budget's low, you still have to be so careful. You don't want anything to come back and bite you at the end of this.
What kind of film are you looking at making? What the length?
This is the first one's going to be a 20-minute short film.
Okay.
And part two, being said, we're looking at the same length, and part three the same. But that may change. Maybe we turn part two into a feature film. I want to tell you what part two is because you're going to know the place.
Okay.
Hobbit's Hill.
No kidding!
Yep.
Well, you see, now we had a guest on last week. We were talking about Hobbit's Hill, and it was Doris Bland. She'd gone around to every cemetery in the county and written down what was on every gravestone in the county. Just basically copied all the gravestones in the county. I said, did you ever have anything spooky happen to you? And, a little hemming and hawing. And I said, did you ever have anything spooky happen to Hobbit's Hill? She didn't know Hobbit's Hill. She didn't know the name of it. She didn't know it was called Hobbit's Hill, but I told her which cemetery it was. You know, the arched cemetery up in... Oh, yeah!
So then it, like, registered with her?
So what are you doing on Hobbit's Hill?
Okay, Hobbit's Hill, the crew that I'm with, they're more excited, I believe, with Hobbit's Hill
than
part
one.
When we came out for a scouting location, it's like, let's go in there. Because I knew about the blackmail box, and they're all just talking about this. All my friends, it's kind of cool being in Chicago and hearing them talk about this blackmail box and that theory and stuff, you know. And one of my buddies, Jim.
You know, somebody, you and I probably don't know who, but we could probably find out who put the black mailbox in there and what it's for. It's probably just to take contributions to help take care of the cemetery.
That's what I would always think, something to that effect.
Whereas that's not what the legend is.
Exactly. So when we start getting in pre-production, I'm going to get a group of friends together, and the story that we're going to tell is like through the eye, take, you know, portion of this and portion of this, and kind of see, because I want to bring a lot of the whole thing with me also and Teresa, we want to keep Fairfield involved with this from the get-go.
Sure.
And the sponsorship, keeping everything in the community, because this was the best town to grow up in. Yeah. Seriously, I'm not just trying to say that. This is the best town to grow up in.
Where are some of the other people from?
They're all Chicago people, really. We all graduated together, and I was able to, like, pick and choose. I got lucky because they're in between projects. Like, Austin's in between a project. The camera operator starts a new project in December. So I've caught these guys at some good times. And
what is your director? You went to school with him?
Correct. Yeah, I went to school with everyone on that crew except the camera operator.
Why did you choose not to direct it yourself after you've gone to the school?
I thought about that, and I had a conversation with my friend Tyler, because when you tell a story and it's your vision, once you pass that script off to the director, you really kind of have no more say-so.
Yeah.
So I wanted to make sure that, you know, the story was told through our vision of the story. You know, we can change some things, but stick to the vision because we're in Fairfield. So that's the pitch that I pitched. Like, I stick behind that.
Yeah.
And I will not make this film unless I made sure everybody was, hey, we're going to my town. We're not going to tear the town up. This is going to be done tastefully because at the end of the day, I'm holding a bag. And those guys are on board from day one. Then we pitched the Hobbit's Hill. And I love where things are going, but they're kind of getting ahead of the game. I mean, excitement.
Yeah.
It's like, let's get this one done. We'll see where it tests, and we'll go into pre-production.
If all these folks, most of these folks that you're working with and are mainly Chicago kids, are they? Do they ever get around out into the country very much? I mean, that's the thing. I remember going to school with people from Chicago, and we would drive out just from Champaign 5 miles. And they would freak out when they saw cows and that kind of thing.
Exactly.
You run into that?
I most definitely did. Holly Vaza, the producer, come down with me, and Dominic Calerico and Austin Neff and Zach Kowalski. Zach Kowalski, if we were in here driving this town, he's like, I go, Zach, what do you think about Fairfield? And he's like, this is pretty cool. This is like totally nothing I would expect. But he's like, I'm getting to know where the streets are. First street's here. Library is over there. And then we brought it up. It's like, I've never really been into a small country town.
Really?
And a couple of those guys were like, you know, that's kind of cool. But my friend Austin, he's like, well, we go up to Michigan. So Fairfield kind of reminded him of that. And then another thing, like some of his family members heard about Fairfield, and they get to him. It's like, I got family members in Jeff. So it's sort of like a small world, you know?
So you have a guy on the crew that has family members in Jeff, and has probably never been there.
Probably so, correct.
We drove through there.
And we drove through there.
What do you think of that?
And
my home place.
Yeah, and he's like, wow. And then I told him, I go, Austin, it's a town that was 7 miles north of there. And he's like, yeah, my teacher's got family there. And she named all these names. I go, the names sound familiar to me, so I'm sure I know they're like sons and things, you know.
Well, that's pretty good. I'm talking today with Troy Simmons and Teresa Simmons, and we're talking about Odin Lane, watching someone while they're watching you. It sounds like... I got to tell you, I think I mentioned it off the air. That is quintessential Fairfield, isn't it?
It really is. It really is.
I mean, because I sit there and I see I make sure my neighbors don't, do bad things. How about that?
Yes.
I don't want to say me. Let's call it...
every one of us.
Everyone. Everyone just kind of keeps an eye on the neighborhood.
I live in Chicago, right in Chicago. So when I first moved to this apartment, I was like... checking out my surroundings.
In Lincoln Park, where are you at up there?
No, I'm in Coster and Diversey. Lincoln Park's about 3 miles from me.
Okay, all right.
So, yeah, I'm right in the heart of Chicago, but it's Ravenswood area.
Yeah.
Or actually, that's the old place. It's just Coster area.
Okay. But you've been up there for 25 years.
For a long time.
Is it shocking to come back home like this after living 25 years in Chicago?
Well, I come back
a lot. You come back from time to time.
Yeah, more often than, I mean, I come back a lot because I enjoy hanging out with my family and friends, you know. So I love packing my car, coming to Fairfield on a Friday, and going back on Sunday. It's like I get back to Chicago, it's like that's a totally different world. But
You're refreshed.
I love that. I totally love that. I can just come home, just chill out, watch TV, go see a couple buddies in Chicago. I'm kind of on the go trying this film thing, and it gets crazy sometimes.
I'll be darned.
You know?
Talking, like I said, with Troy Simmons and Teresa Simmons. We're talking about their film, Odin Lane. We're going to, when we come back here next on the Bruce Dickey Show, we're going to see how folks can help and help put this together. Again, if you're looking for more information about Odin Lane, you can head to Facebook to Odin Lane. It's on Twitter as well. At Odin Lane, I believe. You can go to their Indiegogo campaign, which is www.odinlane.com. Or you can give them a contact on email at fairfieldilfilm@gmail.com. And that, again, is Troy and Teresa Simmons. We'll be back here on the Bruce Dickey Show. Talk a little bit more with these folks, these budding filmmakers, when we return after these messages. You are listening on AM 1390 and WFIW-FM Fairfield. Back in a sec. Morning, folks. Welcome back to the Bruce Dickey Show here on AM and FM, WFIW Fairfield, Illinois. My name is Bruce Dickey. I've got guests across the way. Troy Simmons, formerly of Fairfield, now of Chicago, and Teresa Simmons, formerly of Orlando, now of Fairfield. And we appreciate those folks joining us. They're talking about Troy and Teresa are putting together a movie that's going to film here in Fairfield, a short film. It's going to film here in Fairfield called Odin Lane. And I got to tell you, Troy, it sounds like it's going to be pretty crazy.
Yes, yes.
It sounds like it's going to be pretty wild.
Yes.
Tell me a little bit about what folks in Fairfield can do to maybe help assist you and get wheels rolling and help you get this going along.
We're the sponsorship and some funding. Our funding starts with our campaign for donations at our Indiegogo page.
Indiegogo, what is that again?
You can find that at www.odinlane.com.
Okay, and that is an Indiegogo campaign folks might recognize more as a Kickstarter style,
correct,
right?
Correct.
And people would go in there and pledge to you?
Yes, and we're having postcards. And the postcard we're using is, when we mail these out, we're having Fairfield, home of the friendly people,
yeah,
home of Odin Lane, as a thank you. And that's found on there. And then we have shout-outs. We're also shirts and beanie hats and posters.
I got
and
somebody t-shirts. Calling. Do you want to take a call?
Sure, I sure do.
Good morning. You're on the radio with Troy Simmons.
Good morning. This is Carrie Halbert.
Hello, Carrie.
Hey, how are you guys?
Doing great. You talked to Troy and Teresa last night at the Volunteers for Progressive Fairfield, didn't you?
That's correct. And I would like to tell Troy that Volunteers for Progressive Fairfield is giving him $1,000.
All right. All right. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Carrie, I appreciate the time that you took for that last night. And, it just felt so warm and welcome. And thank you so much.
I'm glad that you're doing this film, and I'm really proud of what you've accomplished, and I know you're going to accomplish more.
Thank you.
Well, Carrie, that's outstanding. Thank you so much for calling and letting us know that.
You're welcome.
That's appreciate awesome.
It. All right.
Talk to you soon.
Uh-huh.
You might have to fill me in on that.
That is awesome. Oh, yeah.
All I know is it's good news, so that's good to me.
Yeah, the meeting from last night, they're going to donate $1,000 for this.
Yes.
Yay.
Yes. Thank you so much.
Yes.
Volunteers for a progressive. Poor old Teresa didn't have her head. Didn't have a headset to put on. I feel bad now.
You want one of these ears?
but yeah, that's the perfect thing. That's what you guys need.
Perfect.
Not just cash, but cash helps.
Exactly.
But you can. But you're also looking for maybe some folks might come down needing a place to get to stay.
Yes.
And maybe the occasional meal or something like.
Yes. That. Yes. And I'm kind of. It's really weird for me to approach people with that, I'm told this is the way to kind of, it's kind of see. It's like approach some.
It's a community event.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like approach a restaurant. It's like, if you would feed our crew one day, we'll slap your name on the back of this shirt. And if this film does go off, you're with us.
On the shirt and then the credits.
And the credits as well. Yeah. So anybody that would want to say, hey, we have 25 people, we have to put up and stay,
right,
with lodging. So I had a nice conversation yesterday, and this girl had said, I could probably put 10 people
there
for you. And it's awesome, yes. And it's like, that's the people that, like, thank you, man. Because I can't put a price tag on that.
Oh, sure.
And if I was to try to put all these guys up, because originally I was going to put everyone up in the hotel, and I seen the budget, our producer Holly's like, no, Troy.
Not going to do
that.
No,
because we're not going to be able to get the camera, not going to be able to get this audio gear, so we can't do this. Let's talk to friends. Let's go a different route. So when we came down here, it's kind of what we did.
Have you been able to like, maybe get some I know you've talked to the VPF. Who else have you been able to talk to? I guess you talked to Mayor Griswold, too.
Yes. Or? Very polite, awesome guy. He's behind this. And I was kind of nervous saying, hey, can I use
Fairfield? Were you worried?
Yes.
Writing it, you wrote it.
Yes.
It's a psychological thriller.
With Teresa.
With Teresa, sorry.
Yeah, it's all right.
You guys wrote it, and using the plural. And it's a psychological threat. Did you have hesitation coming down here and thinking that folks were going to kick you out on your ear?
Yes. That was the toughest part. I kind of bluffed it. I mean, I didn't bluff. I stood behind this. It's like, I will only make this in Fairfield.
Yeah.
I stuck to the ground. Every person I talked to, I will only make this in Fairfield. That's before I even started any communications down here. My buddy Jim Miles was like, keep going, dude. Keep going. Keep going.
Yeah, I can see Jim saying that.
Yeah, and it drove me. It drove me. He's like, dude, just keep going. Because I had to get distracted. And yeah, so... I got off track there. I'm sorry.
No, that's fine. So now, so folks can go to Indiegogo, which is at www.odinlane.com. If somebody wants to get a hold of you, what's the best way?
Go to Odin Lane. find our Facebook page, drop us a message there, our email address, any one of those that you've advertised.
Email address is?
FairfieldIlFilm@gmail.com.
FairfieldILFilm@gmail.com.
Yeah.
And it's, I guess my other question is, you sound like the folks from Chicago are really enthusiastic. Do other folks, yeah. how do they view Southern Illinois towns like this? Do they think they're in another state? Because I know when I went to school just 2 hours away, they thought I sounded like I was from Alabama. How do the folks from Chicago react to the locals down here?
We're slowed down and we just like mellowed out.
Is that right?
That's really kind of how those vibe I get from these guys. And what's crazy is I still have my accent. I was in Second City Sound the other day looking at some audio gear, and Sharon's like, Troy, how long have you lived in Chicago?
Did they ask if you were from Alabama or something?
Exactly. It's like the North Carolina, the Alabama thing. And Sharon's like, how long have you lived in Chicago? And I told her how long. She's like, you still have that Southern twang. I go, well, I guess I do because I go home so much.
Yeah.
You know, but I can tell a difference with people that live here also. There's just that little difference of a dialect. But I guess I'm right with you guys. So that's cool. That's awesome.
Well, no, yeah, you're fine. He doesn't sound like he's all that far north, does he, Teresa?
Hi, Teresa. How are you doing?
He sounds normal to me.
Well, you've known him all your life. So, yeah, sure. Of course he sounds normal. We're talking about Odin Lane. And give me again the schedule. You're hoping to start filming next week.
Yes. If everything goes according to plan, we're going to be in town Friday night the 13th.
Uh-huh.
We're going to proper scene Friday night, Saturday night, or Saturday into night, 14-hour days of shooting. Saturday and Sunday.
Uh-huh.
Mondays to pick up our loose shots, load up the trucks, and get
B-rolls.
Back to Chicago. Correct. So it's any like loose shots, and they're putting the shot list together. So I'm going to need some people in the parks.
Really?
And we'll put that out. So I will know probably closer to Friday after this. I see the shot list, like which day are we going to be in the park. So
you'll need extras.
Yes.
Are you calling for any? Your actors are coming down.
Yes.
So there's no real parts for down here, but there will be extra spots and the chance to get into the film.
Yes, and even here with this Odin Lane for our park scene, we're going to want to fill the park with some kids playing mm-hmm. and some of their parents.
Maybe
and
somebody cooking out or...
Yes.
No kidding. So which main park are you... You said you're doing both parks.
We're looking... I like the hill coming down, Leo French Park.
Yeah.
I love that view.
Yeah.
But I also played line... I'm a baseball dude, man. Like, I would always come here just to play baseball with my friends. Jason Cherry, Mullinex, all these guys. Jim, all these guys. So I kind of want to... We have line ball mentioned in our script. That's what I would come... I would drive round trip from Chicago just to play line ball for a weekend. Like Chad Hinkle, my buddies Larry...
You guys played line ball?
Line ball.
How come you didn't play wiffle ball?
Yeah, forget the wiffle ball. We like the home run thing, you know,
Wiffle ball's a lot easier, though.
It's a lot easier, but it's funner out there.
So when you get big and fat like me, that's when you start playing wiffle ball.
Well, what's crazy now is I jammed my finger at a softball tournament a few years ago. I'm a guitar player, so I don't even play any sports. I'm too scared to pick up a ball.
Well, I can't blame you.
Because I play guitar now, and it's freaky. It's like, this is crazy.
So can you still hit?
I don't know. Probably not.
Will you be in the movie? Or are you going to be?
No.
You said it's going to be Hitchcocky, and I didn't know if you were going to do a cameo.
No. They don't need to see me on this thing.
We actually.
No.
How about you, Teresa? You going to be in there?
No. But we did recruit my father to be in it. We're like, by the way, you're going to be in the movie. And he's like, oh, I don't know about this. I'm like, just act like you're yelling at your cat Mooch.
Because it's perfect. It's the opening scene of this thing.
Yeah.
And this Odin is running through an empty trailer, abandoned trailer. And this Bob character pulls up. He's like, what is going on with this guy? He just moved here.
Yeah.
He's like, hey, man, get out of that trailer. And it's just the way he would talk to his cat. Mooch, get down off there. And it's like, that is perfect.
Sure.
Man. And
he was like, how about I do it like John Wayne? So he impersonated John Wayne. We're like, how about just yourself?
Yeah, it's kind of difficult to make people. I've done plenty of acting. I've been in plays and stuff all over the place. But it is kind of tough for folks just to, out of the blue, start to try to do something else, isn't it?
Yes. We went through acting auditions last week, and that was the first one I was ever in. It's weird how some guys can turn it on and just turn it off. You give them an adjective and they go off that.
Your actors up there are, I presume, they're all Chicagoans, too. Did they all go to the film school, too?
No. You know, we found a couple of these guys just putting ads out. We had a few professional actors, or an actress professional and an actor say, hey, you know, I like this film. It's like, I'd like to be part of this, but there's no role for us. Could you keep us in mind? And I seen one girl, I seen her resume, I seen her talent level. It's like, I've seen movies she's in. Morgan, email her back and say, we'll keep her involved in the second one. Sure. So we're going to write for her.
Right.
Because it's the look she has. It's like, awesome. So another guy that got back in touch was in a thing called American Horror Story. And it's like,
yeah.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's like. So,
which season?
Yeah, it's not the TV show.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's just a film, a horror story. And then it was another film, Glorious.
Okay.
So we're kind of seeing if he sent a videotape audition, but we have to make this decision by like Friday.
Yeah.
Because we're filming next Friday.
Yeah, you're filming 2 days.
Yeah.
Over the weekend, these guys are taking like the weekend off from Chicago or something to come down here and film.
And we're kind of looking now like, hey, are these guys going to be able to vibe off each other? So we have the callbacks.
Are there any names or anything anybody would recognize?
No, not yet.
I didn't know if anybody had done any commercial work.
No. Well, no, those guys are probably commercial work, I would say. I didn't really look too much into their resume, but the actors usually that come to our school and things like that, you'll hear their voice on TV.
Before we're done here, let me go over the information again about Odin Lane. I'm talking, it's Troy Simmons and Teresa Simmons. They're from Fairfield, and they're putting together this movie. It's going to film next weekend, so they need folks to go make some commitments. And as Carrie just said, the volunteers for Progressive Fairfield just donated $1,000. That is outstanding.
That's awesome.
You can go to Facebook to find out more information about Odin Lane and about Troy and Teresa. Go to Facebook, just Oden Lane, and not not Odom Lane. It's Oden.
Yeah, correct. Yeah.
And Twitter, it's the same thing. Donate to their Indiegogo campaign at www.odenlane.com, or you can email them at fairfieldilfilm@gmail.com. I tell you what, Troy, this hour flew by. Are you you're still pretty excited about this, aren't you?
I'm scared. I'm the most scared I've ever been in my life, but excited at the same time. I'm in the middle of this bus, and we're going down the road.
Yeah. you're just looking out the window and waving as it goes by, aren't you?
Some days I just want to bury my head in the covers, and then some days I wake up, it's like, well, I can't do that. I have to keep the moving.
You got
to
keep it going.
Yes.
That's right. Well, Teresa, you're doing the same thing, aren't you? Just a little bit more quietly.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
I like to keep people wondering.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's cool. That's cool. Well, I got to tell you guys, thank you so much
thank
for
you.
Coming on today. Really appreciate it. If anybody needs more information, I have it here if somebody's interested. Thanks for coming on, guys. Talk to you all
real soon.
Thank you.
Have a great day,
folks.
Thank you.